Isn't God good? Amen. He's a good God. He's got good things for you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad that Brother Donnie and Sister Barbara's here this morning. They're very special to us and been a blessing to the church. Amen. You know, every one of you, you're a blessing to the church. You know, Jesus said He'd build His church. And you're a part of that church, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against the church of the living God. Amen? Amen. And some of you are standing on some promises, and the devil's trying to take those promises from you. Hold on to what you know. Amen? Hold on to the Word of God, because God's Word will never fail you. You know that. If you would, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. You know, we started off this new year talking about this is going to be a year of expansion. And you're going to go through many things this year, and your life is going to grow and to expand. And we've been talking about how to be just like Jesus. And as I was praying about this morning's service all this week, I kept hearing the phrase, "Will you walk with me? Will you walk with me?" And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because if you and I walk with the Lord, we're going to go places we've never been before. We're going to see things that we've never saw before. Everything in this book is true. Amen. You know that. I know that. But you realize that John, the Gospel of John, says that there's things that Jesus did that's not written in this book. It said if everything Jesus did was written down, the whole world couldn't contain His actions. So that means there's things in your life and my life that God wants to do that we base on this book. But also, you and I recognize and realize that if you need something, that we've got a God who can create it. Woo! That means that our God is so far ahead of the devil, so far ahead of every situation of life, that He has a word for you that will create His perfect will. Amen? Let's walk with Him. Amen? All right. Genesis chapter 5, if you would. Let's start in verse number 22. Genesis chapter 5. Verse 22, when you're there, say amen. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Notice this. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Sister Victoria, would you pray? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for honoring the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Victoria, for your prayer. This morning, you and I, we look at these verses of Scripture, and usually when we hear them preached, it's preached about the coming of the Lord, and thank the Lord that He is coming. Amen. We know that. We believe that. We honor that. But I want us to look at it from just a little different perspective this morning. I want us to look and see that you and I were in a situation in the world today just like Enoch was then. We're in a very sinful world. Amen? Sin is abounding. But we know what the Bible says. The Bible says that when sin abounds, God's grace abounds that much more. Amen? And so there's sin all around your life, all around my life. There's attacks on us personally, on our family. There's a tax on the church that's coming even within and from our government. And so you and I, we got to get in a place and a position where we recognize and realize no matter what comes against us, that we are the church that Jesus is building. Amen? And we're doing what Jesus would have us to do. We're walking with Him. And when we recognize and realize that as we walk with the Lord, there is an ordering of your steps. There's an ordering of my steps that we can stand on. Amen? You know, the steps of a good man, a good woman, a child of God, they're ordered by the Lord. And so God's taking you somewhere this morning. Amen? He's taking me somewhere this morning. And so we're going to look at this just a little bit and get it down in our heart. Now notice it says in verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begets sons and daughters." Now, you and I today, we have a history. Come on, say, "I've got a history." Some of my history I'm ashamed of. Some of my history It is an avenue and a vein of where the enemy still tries to use against me. But thank God for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. And so I've had some things in my life that that the enemy wants to bring back up and wants to use against me and all of these things. And I've produced some things out of my life before Jesus. Have you produced anything out of your life before Jesus? Yes, every one of us has. But here, we, you and I, we've got to come to the place where we recognize and realize that we serve a God who makes all things new. Amen? And so, you are a new creation. You are a new creature in Jesus. And God can take even the things that we produced without Him, and He can use them for His glory. Amen? And He can turn them around. And so, I want you and I to get in a place where we are expecting. We're hopeful. We're hopeful knowing that, that God has great things in store. And we're going to walk with Him into some new things. Now, mark your place. We'll come back here in a moment. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, and let's get just a clearer picture from the New Testament about Enoch. As you're turning to the book of Hebrews, remember Enoch, his name means initiated. It means disciplined. Come on now, you are a disciple of Christ. Yes. Amen? And I want you to see how Enoch, he become disciplined enough to walk with God, and God took him out of this world. Well, you and I, we're not of this world, but we're in this world, and we're here for a reason. But God wants you and I to live from heaven to earth rather than from earth to heaven. And so He wants to take you out of this earth in the way that you think and live, and He wants you to live from that perspective, amen, that you serve a God who will use you and will bless you and will take His walk from heaven to earth. Amen. That's the point we're looking at. But in Hebrews chapter 11, look and starting in verse number 5. Hebrews 11 and 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, isn't that something? Now, you and I, we've got to get in our heart this morning that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that puts us on the walk with the Lord that pleases Him. That gives you a testimony. Your testimony is that my confidence, my hope is in the risen Savior. And so you have a walk that's being ordered. Your steps are being ordered by the Lord. But you have a testimony that's coming out of your life that your confidence is not in and of this world, but it's in Jesus. And you recognize and realize, yes, one day there's going to be a sounding of the trumpet. Thank God for that. But moment by moment in this life, right now, until that trumpet sounds, God is taking you and I out of this world, and He's putting us in His eternity, and He's bringing that eternity through you. You're the vessel of God. And He's bringing His will, His plan, His blessings, His understandings into this world. Come on, through you. Say, "I'm the vessel of the Lord." You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God wants to use you to bless this world. Now, think about Enoch. Here Enoch is. He's in a place where his testimony, his walk is pleasing to God, and God starts blessing him. And God sets up his son, Methuselah. Methuselah was a sign. In other words, God said, "Enoch, I'm going to use your offspring for a sign of my coming." Oh, come on now. That's a good place to shout. He said, he tells him, he says, "Enoch, I want you to know, because you're initiated into my truth, because you're disciplined into my way," he said, I am going to take, and I'm going to cause your offspring, your fruit, to cause the world to recognize and realize that I'm at hand. In other words, the day that Methuselah died, that's when what? That's when Noah entered into the ark. That's when the flood was going to come. That's when the judgment of God was there. And so you and I today, our testimony is that our steps are being ordered by the Lord is a revelation that God is going to judge this world. But He has grace for whoever will. Amen? Whoever will. And so our steps are being ordered and directed into people's lives to bring a revelation to them that they don't have to come under judgment. They can come under the grace of God just like you and I did. And so the fruit out of your life is, hey, this world is not going to last forever. That's what Methuselah stood for the world. But at the same time, look at the grandson. Look at Enoch and his future. His future was that Noah was coming out of his life. Noah means what? Noah, fully translated, means rest. Out of your life, out of my life, that is going into this lost world, is giving them a hope that there is a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brings rest. Amen? Brings us. So now, if that's coming out of your life, if that is the fruitfulness of who you are, say it is, then that means you have it. Come on now. Let's get real serious. Now, there was a strong attack that progressed all week on God's people. And last night especially, there was many things happening, and the devil was orchestrating things to take people out. But God said no. Amen? That's your God. That's my God. And so you need to be in the place and the position where you learn how to rest in the fruit that is in your life. You're not looking for rest. You have it. Amen? Rest means tranquil. Rest is shalom. It's the peace of God. It's the understanding that no matter what's happening around you, that everything's going to be okay. That's your message. That's your confidence. And so out of the fruitfulness of what God has placed in you is the ability to see what God wants to bring in and through you. Let's go back to Genesis. And let's look at this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 this time. We were in chapter 5. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, here is the offspring of Enoch. And look what it says starting in verse number 8. Genesis 6 and 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah being the offspring, the fruitfulness of Enoch, And you being in that place, in that position where you're saying, this year, I'm going to walk with the Lord like I've never walked with Him before. You have the understanding that you're going to have this rest in your life. And this rest, it stems from the grace of God. The grace of God is that you can't do anything to earn what God has for you. I can't do anything to earn what God has for me. Thus, I qualify, even though my actions, even though my words of the past would say that I would have nothing to do with it, now I have everything to do with it because God has drawn me. God has drawn you with His Spirit, and you've come in agreement with that drawing and said yes to the Lord. That's your qualification. So you're in a place where, in the midst of all of the trouble of your life. Now, every one of you, you're dealing with issues and trouble in your life, in your family's life, in your job, in all circumstances and situations. Your household seems like, instead of it being on the rock, it's in a rocky turmoil. But let me tell you, you and I have got to hold to the confession that we're building our house on the rock. Amen? And it doesn't matter what storms of life comes against it. Jesus said the storms could come and beat against your house, but because you're hearing His sayings, Matthew 7, 24, 25, 26, and 27, because you're hearing the sayings of the Lord and you're building your life according to those sayings, the storm will not take you down. Amen? And so you're finding grace. What does it mean to find grace? It means to find a revelation for your situation. In other words, you're walking with the Lord, and you're not going to allow that stumbling stone to stumble you, but you're going to step up on that and step into God's grace. That's what's going to happen this year. You're going to come into the promises that God has for you, and the devil's not going to take them from you. Amen? You got to believe that. So here, let's understand this. Just back up just a little bit and look in verse number 4. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, we know literally he's talking about giants, but I want you to see in your life and my life, we have situations that look awful big. And when you get something big in your life that's trying to look bigger than God, it casts a giant shadow. But you and I have got to stand in the promise that when Jesus comes, He is called the day star of your heart. He is John 8 and 12. He is the light of the world, but He is the light of your heart. And He dispels all of those darknesses. So this morning, I know that there's some things in your life that they are shouting like Goliath shouted to David. But it's not bigger than your God. Amen? Your God is wanting to show you that He is the one that has the final and last say. Amen? Now notice it says, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. And when the sons of God came in, so in other words, there's production in and of this world by the enemy to try to produce things in your life and my life that would hinder us. But they're not going to last. Only your God, only my God is the eternal God. Now look what it says in verse number 5. And God saw that there was wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. You and I were vexed. Come on, you're righteous because you've been justified. And so being justified and having the righteousness of God in you when things around you are not as they should be, come on, it vexes you. And as you become vexed, what you need to recognize, what I need to recognize is, it's the opportunity and the time to pray. Don't let the vexation pull you down. Understand that it's a revelation. It's a revelation for you to stand on God's Word. It's a revelation for you to find grace. Because immediately after he says that, he talks about how God is fixing to bring judgment. But in verse 8, once again, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to be encouraged this morning, because think about that revelation. Think about what is being said here. In other words, God's eyes, as Scripture says, is running to and fro in the earth. So he's looking at you. He's looking at your situation. And he's what? He's working on his plan in your life. His plan is to bring Jesus, to bring grace to every struggle, every hardship. But you've got to walk with him. See, Noah here, he's in a situation where only him and his family, the Bible says only 8 souls were brought out of this situation. That's what Peter said. Now, sometimes it looks in our life that the situation we're in is totally overwhelming. It looks like there is no way that we can come out on top. And you've got to have your steps walking closer to what God has revealed to you. And if you have the understanding that even though you don't feel like it, you don't think that you can, but you just by faith take the next step, you're going to walk into a new place of promise and provision that God has for you. You're not going to fail. God will not leave you in that situation. And nobody will be left behind. He's going to have His will in our life as long as we take His word for it. Now notice, it says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you look, we won't take time to read all of this, but God brings a word to Noah to how to build the protection in his life. This morning, you need to be ordered in the Lord to recognize and realize that this ark was a literal thing in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, you have an ark. You have a covenant with God, but you have a protection with God. This ark was pitched inside and out. Your life is covered by the blood of Jesus. You're in the pitch, so to speak, with the blood of Jesus on your life. You have an atonement. That's what this was about. It was when they went into the ark and God shut the door. Everything that was wrong with their life, it disappeared in the ark. So this morning, when you come into Jesus Christ, and He is that door, remember John chapter 10, and it's shut on the world, you're in a place of protection. So no matter what's happening in your life coming against you, you have the reality, if you'll keep walking with God, things are going to get better and better and better. Now immediately somebody says, but Greg, you ain't standing where I'm standing. No, I'm not standing where you're standing, but you and I are standing in the place of each other because we're praying for each other. And as we pray for each other, great revelation comes of what our brothers and sisters are dealing with, and you have a feeling of what's going on. And so I'm here to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is here to encourage each one of us this morning that if we just keep walking with God, things are going to get better and better and better. God is going to expand you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to strengthen you in ways that you never dreamed possible. Amen? All right. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's see some things here. Now, in the book of Jude, chapter 1, he tells us a little bit more about Enoch. Now, I want you to think about Enoch's testimony, and I want you to think about his walk with the Lord. In Jude 1 and 14, it says, "And Enoch, the one who was disciplined, initiated in the Lord, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied." It's not so much that we have a message about what he prophesied about. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." That's another message for another time. I want you to see that as you walk with God and you find grace, that within you is the fruitfulness to say what God says about the situation. Come on, to prophesy means to speak under the anointing. See, I say a lot of things a lot of times that I have to repent about, and I have to ask the Lord to cover it with the blood because I've made a mistake. But I'm learning. Amen? Come on, we are... Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are God's workmanship. Amen? Created unto good works. Well, sometimes when you're building something, you've got to tear something down first. Amen? And so that's okay. I'm tearing some things out of my life that I built with the words of the enemy. But I'm building back something greater, something bigger, something better. Amen? So here you are this morning. And you've got to see that God wants to bring unction in your spirit where the words that He gives you may make no sense to the natural man in your situation. In fact, 99 tenths of the time, it's not to the natural man. But what you do is you say it anyway. You say what God gives you to say. And as you speak that out, you're going to bring a revelation. Now, think about Enoch here. And let's just look at it from his point of view. He is bringing judgment on the world. He is telling them that God is coming. And as he did that, he put a time frame and a limitation that somebody needs to hear by the Spirit of God. You stop walking around the mountain. Stop going through the same situation over and over and learn to say what God says and put a limit on it. If we'll do it in God's time, in His way, and we'll say what He says, all of a sudden, God says, this is it. Right here, I'm going to judge this situation. I'm judging you by the blood of Jesus. But I'm judging this situation because you're standing on my word. And you're saying what I say. And all of a sudden, the way that the devil had an open door in your life, in my life, to browbeat, to hurt, hinder, to keep us from God's best, God says, I'm going to look at that, I'm going to judge it. Because you've come in agreement with my word, you prophesied what I said, and it's going to come to pass. Amen? Now, this is victory for us. This is key for us this year to come into the great blessings, because I'm telling you, the call that God has on our life, on the church's life, is so great that the anointing is going to have to increase to bring it to pass. And every time the level of the anointing increases, the level of the attack increases. But we've got to believe that God's understanding of our situation in Jesus is clear. We're not going to be shook. We're not going to be moved. We're going to trust in the Lord. So here you are. You need to be in the place where you're willing to say something that the world's not going to understand. Can you see Enoch standing there even before Noah preached 120 years and nobody believed? Enoch prophesied and told them what was coming. They couldn't understand something they never saw before. Rain? A flood? Now listen, you're going to have to say some things right in the eyes of the one that you love the most that misunderstands you. And you're going to have to say, thus saith the Lord. And as you proclaim that out of your spirit by the anointing of God, it creates a decree. It creates a law. In other words, you're coming in agreement with Jesus, the Word, and when two agree, as touching any one thing, Matthew 18, it shall be done of your Father. Has nothing. You don't have to do it. There's no pressure on you this morning. There's no pressure on me. All the pressure is on God to perform His Word, and He'll do it. Amen? The prophet Jeremiah said that God said, I will hasten to perform my word. Amen? All right. Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly, irreverent, of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Now, in other words, everything that is irreverent, that is working in your life, that's working in your family's life, it is an agenda of the devil. But you and I, we've got to recognize and realize that the Word of God, though it never changes, the Word of God is applied in different areas, different ways, different avenues. So you can look at this this morning and you can see that if you're going to walk with God, you've got to be willing to see something that you never saw and then have the faith to speak out of your spirit what you see. Because if you'll speak out of your spirit what you see, then all of a sudden your words, like God's, Hebrews 11 and 3, they become a creative force. And they create God's will, God's plan, rather than what you're dealing with. We'll never change anything until we tear some things down. The word of the Lord came into the prophet Jeremiah. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse number 9. Jeremiah 1 and 9. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Does God love Jeremiah more than He loves you? Will God do the same thing for you? Will you let God touch your mouth? See, you've done had an Isaiah 6 experience. Isaiah 6 experiences where Isaiah, he looked and he saw the train of the Lord. And he said, Oh, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And what happened? There was a coal from the altar that went and touched his lips and cleansed them. Amen. When you got born again, when you met the Lord Jesus Christ at the mercy seat, the fire of the living God touched you and cleansed you. Amen. So you done had that experience. So now you've got to believe God for the further prophetic. The further prophetic is that God is going to put in you, because you're willing to walk with Him and find grace, rest in Him, word that will create God's will for your life. Look at the next part of the verse, verse 10. See, I have this day, not someday. You know how many people are waiting for someday? You and I, we're going to see people live and die and miss God's best because they're waiting on someday. The old song, I don't know who wrote it, but I love that. I used to love it. Elvis used to sing the song, you know, Tomorrow Never Comes. It never comes. You're living in now faith, amen? Now faith is. But see, this day, I have set over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. See, you and I have got to recognize the formula of the Lord. And if we'll recognize the formula of the Lord and we'll do it His way, put it into practice, we can walk with the Lord. And as we walk with Him and as He orders our steps, all of a sudden, we're starting to see changes. We're starting to see the negative to turn positive. We're starting to see the hindrance and the limitation bow down to the promise and the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But we've got to be in the place where we speak against what the enemy is orchestrating in your life and my life. And if we'll stand on that word, your word will create God's will. Amen? Let's tear the wall down. Let's walk around Jericho. Let's walk around in faith. And let's praise God. Let's give the shout at the right time. And when we do, the wall that is separating you from God's promise, God's best, will fall. Amen? Okay. Now notice it says in verse number 11, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. In other words, this is progression. See, as you walk with the Lord, there is a progressive revelation of what God would do in you and through you. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? Now, this morning, by the Spirit of God, what are you seeing in your situation? See, put yourself in Enoch's place, as we used for a text. Put yourself in Noah's place. It said that the whole world was falling after evil. Well, we could look around right now. We've got evil all around us. We've got trouble all around us. We've got sickness and disease. We've got lack. We've got hatred. We've got all of these things all around us. But what are we seeing? We've got to look past what we're seeing in the natural and see the grace of God. Grace, God's grace, the grace of God will change every situation of your life. Amen? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now, that's in the Ark of the Covenant. That's Aaron's rod. And it bloomed and produced fruit. See, you and I, we've got to recognize that when we have the Word of God, we have the covenant relationship of the great high priest. Come on, Aaron was the priest. But Jesus is your priest. Amen? That the Word of the Lord is going to produce fruit when nothing else around it is. Amen? All we have to do is walk in that realization, in that understanding, and receive it by faith. Now look what he says. Verse number 12, this is what we were talking about earlier. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God says, I'm going to be sleepless till it comes to pass. Of course, we know God doesn't sleep, but he's emphasizing to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah cannot understand that, because every one of us, we've got to sleep. But you've got a God that neither rests, neither sleeps, neither slumbers. He's active in your life. Aren't you glad when all hell is coming against you and your family that God has his eyes running to and fro in your life? Amen? All right. Now, let's look at something that will help us real quick. Go with me to John chapter 5. This walk with the Lord makes the impossible possible. See, we get into a situation where somebody needs to hear this by the Spirit of God. You've been believing God for a long time. You've been walking, standing on the promises, and nothing has happened the way that you thought it should. Well, we've got to see that God, He's looking, He's declaring the end from the beginning, so He's seeing things that you and I can't see, and He's working some things out in our life that we may not understand. I know that God wasn't withholding His best from me, but He had to get me in the position to receive this. Amen? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. It's not God's fault, but in my situation, it was for my betterment to go through some things and to see God work. Because God just worked in a way that pruned me, purged me, and I still got some work to do, amen, but it's okay. But here, let's look at this man in John chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, and after this, it was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at the Jerusalem by the sheep market, there was a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In other words, this is the house of kindness. This is the place of grace. Say, I'm in the place of grace. And it may seem like it's not grace, but it is. Amen? Amen. Come on, this is your moment. You're in the right place at the right time, and you and I need to be in the place where we know that God is on the scene to work and minister in our life, but we've got to be willing to walk with Him. Now, he said, verse 3, in these, in these five porches, these places of grace, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, number 1, of blind, number 2, halt, number 3, withered, number 4, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, notice this. That's what they were doing. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease that he or she had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, I want you to see this time period, but I want you to better understand when he says the number 38. Every time you see 38 in the Bible, it means slavery. Slavery. And you and I, in this life, until we do what Galatians 5:16 says, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the... Until I learn to walk some things out with the Lord and get where He'd have me to be, I'm in slavery. But see, the Son comes to make me free. But I've got to walk in the truth to be able to come to that place. And so here you see this man. He's in a place and a position, and his whole focus was, as you'll see in a moment, I have no man. I have nobody to help me. This morning, you and I, we've got to recognize and realize our help comes from the Lord. The Lord is my help. Amen? And if we will look unto Him in the situations that seem impossible, if we recognize and realize that we're like this impotent man, I can't move unless the Lord helps me. Somebody needs to hear this. Don't you make a step, don't you make a decision unless you hear by the Spirit of God what He would have you to do. Because you're in a perfect place where the devil can give you a false word, a word that would paint a picture that would mess your whole future up. Amen? You need to hear, thus saith the Lord, and recognize and realize that when it's time, God will be the one that moves you, not man. Come on now. Don't let man cause you to make a decision. Don't let man to make you think that you need to do this or you need to say that. No, you're not led by man. You're led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters. They are the children of God. That's who you are. Amen? Don't let any situation move you. Now notice what he says. Verse 6, and when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case by the word of knowledge, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, you know, that seems like a strange question. He's laying beside this pool where healing is supposed to be available. And so Jesus asked him, he said, will you be made whole? See, if we're not careful, we come to church, we read our Bible, we pray, we know all the scriptures. We stand on 1 Peter 2:24. We stand on Isaiah 53:5. We quote these verses of scripture about God's will and God's promise and God's plan for our life. But we need to come back and just let the Spirit of God talk to us and cause us to refocus. Will thou be made whole? See, because all of a sudden, Jesus asked the question that brings a reality that was in our heart that you and I didn't even know was there. Isn't that something? Look at the next verse. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Oh, shanalada makatita lada brakotonte. By the Spirit of God, you and I, we have got to recognize and realize little things can get in our heart. Now, can you imagine this man laying there 38 years? Can you imagine the anger? In his mind, all he's doing is laying there. Now, think about this, because I know how my mind works. And he's laying there, and he's playing over, boy, when the water was troubled 7 years ago, I was fixing to roll in there, and here this person is. He sees that person. He sees that person walk off. And where's his mind at? He's angry. He's mad. He hates that this person is walking in a place, in a position, and he's putting the blame on that person for taking from him. Come on, we're getting right down to the very grassroots level, amen? But see, God, through Jesus here, by the Spirit, asked a simple question where we can locate ourselves. I want to know where I'm at, because if I can see where I'm at, I can let God take me to where He wants me to be, amen? I have no man when the water is troubled. See, the great thing now in the dispensation of grace, the water is always troubled. You and I, we don't have to wait. In other words, we know it's God's will for Him to bring His best in our life. Amen? We're not a slave to what we didn't know or what we didn't understand. We've been made free by the reality that Jesus said, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. I'll meet you where you're at, and I'll take you where I have to go if you'll walk with me. Amen? Verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now this is so important for you and I this morning. We've got to see that the thing that seems to be so important to us, the thing that seems to have us crippled, the thing that seems to be on top of us. See, literally this man was laying on the mat, but really the mat was on top of him. We've got to see that by the word of the Lord, whatever's holding you down, you can pick it up in the name of Jesus. And it can be a witness and a testimony for everyone who has seen your life before about the power of God. That's powerful, isn't it? Think about this. This man able to carry what once carried him. Oh, glory. All because Jesus said, rise. See, that's what the Word of God does. When you and I hear the Word of God, it will always elevate us. It will always bring us to a higher level of thinking. And if we're at a higher level of thinking, it will bring us to a higher level of speaking. And if we're at a higher level of speaking, you and I are going to always have a higher level of action. Amen? But we've got to let the Spirit of God locate us, show us where we're at, and show us where God's Word will take us. Amen? Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. When was he made whole? When he done what Jesus said. See, I can't do what somebody else did. And I can't do what I did before. I just got to do what the Lord, by His Spirit, tells me to do now. Now. And I'm going to have to take that step. Now, can you imagine? Here, this man is having to deal with everything in his life. Can you imagine how many times that he has tried to stand up? Come on, somebody needs to hear this morning. You, certain situations in your life, it seems like that there that wall is, and you have beat your head against the wall over and over and over. And finally, we get to the point where we go, what is the use? So you can see this man, how he had tried to move, how he had tried to walk, how he had prayed. Every one of us in here, we've prayed about certain things. But God has a time for everything. And so we need to hear His Word, and in His timing, we need to take that Word and we need to allow it to empower us. You can forgive this morning. And if you, when you forgive, you're healed. Amen? See, when Jesus brought that question to him, all of a sudden, the reality of Jesus talking to him was greater. This man was finding grace. And that grace was making the words of Jesus, listen now, that grace was making the words of Jesus more important than everything he had experienced the previous 38 years. We're talking power in relationship. Power in walking the Word of God out. Amen? And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. All of a sudden, he said, I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to walk it out on the Sabbath, on the rest. I'm going to learn how to rest in you, Lord. I'm going to take it one step at a time. And I'm going to rest in you. And the whole religious world says you can't do it. But Jesus says you can. I don't care what the church world says. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the reality of relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Father, right now, Lord, I know that You're mindful. And I know that You ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And I know that You're touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I know that You were touched as people went through things this past week. And as the attack was even increased last night, about 9 o'clock, Lord, You were there. You were there. You were on the scene. You put a dividing line between the devil and Your people. Father, right now we ask that You would just touch every person. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us a wise and understanding heart. Help us to walk with You. Help us to move out of this situation of limitation. Let us find grace for where we're at. The grace that is abundant. The grace that is sufficient. That will take us from here to where You would have us to be. Let it be. Let it be, Father. We ask You in the name of Jesus. Would You come this morning? Would You come and make Yourself an altar? And let's take these things to the Lord. Let's move to the next place in Him. Let's don't let anything hinder us or limit us. Let's let God bring healing to your heart. I want you to see that all the hurts of the past, they don't define you. They don't limit you. what people has done and said to you, you can prophesy. You can change those situations and circumstances from being a limitation to you, a hindrance to you, to being something that you can build upon. Would you come this morning and let us pray with you? God loves you. He has so many great things in store for you. And this is going to be a year that's not going to stop you, but it's going to be a year that's going to build you. And you're going to be used by God to build His kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.